Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's good!
Morris, Ball, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Porter gets Bradley for three. John Wall! Oh, what a shot!
Welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, your one-stop shop for Wizards news, analysis, expert interviews, funny stories about Nick Young, and much more. So we're here for you 5 days a week, jabbering away every Monday through Friday. You can find us on your phone, your laptop, your iPad, Sony Walkman. I'm not sure how else you all listen to podcasts these days. And finally, you should subscribe to Locked On Wizards on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can check us out on Twitter at Locked On Wizards, LockedOnWizards.com, or Megaphone. So anyway, this mystery man behind the scenes is Noah Getzel. I'm hosting your podcast tonight and just about every night. I've been a Wizards Extra beat reporter for 2 years, been covering the team for 4 years, and the guy who's there a ton with me from Bullets Forever, we welcome in our guest for the show, Michael Sykes. How you doing tonight, Michael?
Hey, Noah, thanks for having me, man. I'm good.
Cool. You got any funny stories to share about the Wizards? I know I mentioned that randomly as part of the title for this podcast.
I don't.
It will come to you at the end of the podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure I have some. Because I think, you know what, the funniest stories that I know about from the Wizards aren't from me covering them, but just from me reading about the team
yeah.
and following the team for so long. Because, like, you can find so many hilarious nuggets from those Andre Blatch, Nick Young, and JaVale McGee years. Like, those are some of my favorite moments. So,
wasn't there one story that, like, Gilbert Arenas came in with a hose in the locker room, and I think it was Andre Blatch or something, and Blatch was taking a dump, and he just starts, like, pouring cold water, like, shooting a hose yeah. of cold water out of him?
Yeah, and Gilbert was awful.
I should have asked some of the current players. I feel like John Wall is the only one who was his teammate back then, but I don't know how good of a teammate he could have been hearing some of these stories. Anyway, we're kind of bantering because it's a bit of a slow day in Wizards news. There's just one game this week against the Knicks before All-Star break. But some of the topics that we're going to talk about are Ty Lawson being the latest rumored player to potentially be joining the Wizards. What else we got? We're going to talk about just the Wizards roster in general. They're down to like 11 healthy players and how things have kind of gone haywire in terms of their two-way contracts and cutting different players. And just, you know, they're in this position now where they have to sign somebody because their roster is looking really bare. And then finally, we're going to talk about what kind of move would be best with their five-time All-Star John Wall and what he would appreciate. I know they just got rid of a guy that they like, that Wall likes a lot, Sheldon Mack. I know they had a close bond, always working out together in Miami. So we'll just talk about, of all these moves that the Wizards are considering, what would make him happy. We've been doing a lot of talking beforehand, so we're going to do a real quick word from our sponsor and jump right into it. And we'll let Michael talk a lot more. I know I've kind of been silencing him and giving him the cold treatment to start. So we'll be right back on the Locked On Wizards podcast. All right, we're back, Locked On Wizards. I'm your host, Noah Getzel. Mike Sykes from Bullets Forever is here to join us. And we've got about 10 healthy players on the Wizards roster. So the question now becomes, who are they going to add? There has been a lot of talk about adding a point guard. Ty Lawson, Derrick Rose, Briante Weber, Ramon Sessions, and possibly even Donald Sloan have all been mentioned by Adrian Wojciechowski and some other prominent sources. What's your take? Do you like any of these candidates? And most importantly, have you seen Briante Weber's hair? It's crazy, man.
Yeah, Briante, I actually like it. I like Briante's hair. It's distinct, right? But no, I think you know, out of all the candidates, none of them are necessarily good. Like, you're not going to find a good free agent at this point in the season, right? But the Wizards are in a situation where they have to pick up someone because their point guard position is so thin with John Wall and Tim Frazier probably being out for a while. It looks like Thomas Satoransky is going to play on Thursday. On Wednesday he practiced today.
So he passed all the concussion protocol and all that.
Yeah, so he's through the concussion protocol and everything, according to him at Shoot Around. So we'll see on that. But you know, they still need a backup to the backup, right? Because their starter's down.
Right.
So you know, it makes sense for them to sign another guy, but like I said, none of the guys are necessarily good. I would be interested in seeing them sign Briante Weber, just because that's a young body, and a guy who's known for playing defense at VCU. So I think you know, a player like that would be good. He doesn't have to necessarily handle the ball for them. I think he's 25, so he's not necessarily a young, super young player, but he's also not Derrick Rose or Ty Lawson.
Yeah, he's going to be able to play more than 9 minutes at a time or something like that.
Exactly.
Not that we would need him for that long, but all right, I'm going to name a couple of the players who've been mentioned and just tell me like your biggest reservation or beef with some of these guys. So we'll start off with the local guy from Clennon, Maryland, Ty Lawson, who, as I mentioned, is coming from a Chinese Basketball Association, the Shandong Gold Stars. He just dropped like 55 points against lesser competition. Last time he played was last season with, who was it? He shared a couple different teams. Yeah, he was with the Kings all of last season. He was decent, 10 points a game, I think four assists. And the year before that, he moved around from the Raptors to the Rockets. He played 53 games on the Rockets. And then a few games on the Pacers at the end of the year. So that season with all the teams, different teams, he really didn't do too much. He averaged, what was it? Where are his points per game? He did not do much. He had 4.9 points a game, or like 5 and 4 points with a different team. So, and he's had a lot of alcohol-related issues in the past with DUIs and things like that. So we've mentioned a lot of things that kind of might be going against him, but I feel like I stole your thunder, Mike. Why do you not like Ty Lawson?
Yeah, I think, you know, my biggest reservation with him is his size, honestly. I think Lawson is a good enough point guard offensively to have a roster spot somewhere, because there are some terrible backup point guards in the league right now. But, I mean, dude's like 5'10", right? Like, he's 5'10", 5'11".
And he used to be quick, but now he's 30.
Yeah, he's 30 now. He's older. When he gets to the rim, he isn't finishing as well. He lost a step, like I said. And I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be mad at this, because I think he's probably better than Derrick Rose. But, you know, it wouldn't be a great move for them. I guess, relatively speaking, in the situation that they're in, it would probably be fine, but he's not in their long-term plans at all, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, and I saw one report from David Aldridge from TNTNBA.com who was saying the Wizards might plan to get a 10-day contract, like, for this last game against the Bulls. Sorry, not the Bulls, the Knicks. And then kind of figure out their plans of which free agent they're actually going to sign for the rest of the year after the All-Star break. I'm not sure if that's still happening, but that seems like, I guess there are pros and cons of it, because you might lose out on someone who you actually want if they get swept up in the free agency buyouts before that. But also, like, if you're thinking about signing someone, like, it's good to, you know, give them a couple games. And of course, like, you need to learn the playbook and all that, but you can at least see if it's going to be a total disaster early. So, you know, would you be open to signing a 10-day guy and maybe not even having it be the same person who you signed for the rest of the season?
Yeah, most definitely. I think, I mean, there are a lot of talented players in the NBA G League, right? Like, that's a given. Like, there are dudes down there like Quinn Cook, who literally just balled out yesterday, and he's only 24. And, you know, I think he's actually signed with the Warriors, but I also think the Wizards I think they can get their hands on him. I'm not 100% sure on that, but if they, but I'm saying like a player like that, if they could find someone like that in the G League, that would be a great option for them, a cheap option for them, and not necessarily one that they have to commit directly to. It's also worth noting that they do have a two-way contract still open up. Like Devin Robinson has one of them, but they have another one that's free, so they could easily use that on a G League player, a point guard if they want it, or just a ball handling player to have him come back and forth between Washington. Like we've seen a ton of teams do that this season, like the Clippers and the Bucks with Gary Payton the second. Like it's not rocket science. I think you know that would actually be a really prudent and smart move by them if they chose to do that.
Okay, so you think one of the young guns, maybe instead of one of these veterans. And I know Lawson, the tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski today said that the Wizards are seriously considering him. So I don't know what that word means exactly, but it seems like they might be bringing him over from China and just saying that there's a high chance of it. So we talked about Lawson. How about Derrick Rose? Does this guy want to play basketball anymore? Is he athletic at all, or is he made of glass?
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Rose, yeah, I don't really see any upside from signing him. Obviously, it's a short-term fix with, what they have on their roster, but, I mean, even in the short stint he had in Cleveland this season, he shot 25% or something like that from three. Wow. And didn't average more than 10 points a game, and he's just not really adding anything at this point. Like, sure, he's still got his mid-range jumper that's still working, and he can still get to the rim at times, even though he's not finishing. But I don't even think he's as unathletic as we make it seem to be. Like, no, he's not MVP Derrick Rose, but he's still a pretty good athlete. But it's just that he has to kind of use that athleticism differently, and get his teammates involved. But like he's really a black hole when he touches the ball, and he can't defend, and he's just not fun to watch anymore. So and that's not even, we haven't even considered the off the court stuff, right? Like how committed is he to basketball at this point, right? Like that's definitely a thing. So I don't know. I would hope that they don't knock on Derrick Rose's door. I honestly think that Rose probably shouldn't be in the league at this point, not even just because he's not good enough to be there, but just for his own personal life and health. But we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, and actually, I just saw on Sports Illustrated that no team claimed him off waivers. Yeah. So yeah, I mean the Wizards aren't making a move. He was cooking the Wizards earlier when the first matchup they played. he had a big first half. I don't know what happened the rest of the game, but the Cavs won that one. So, he played some role. But Derrick Rose is off the table. I don't know what's going to happen if he'll ever play basketball professionally again. But the next guy on the list, how about Ramon Sessions? What do you think of him? He was the backup, not last year, but 2 years ago. And he was pretty successful. He averaged 10 points.
Yeah, Sessions, I think out of the three that we just talked about, Sessions is probably the one that I would be most satisfied with, I guess, if that's the right word, even though like all of these players aren't really good anymore. Sessions has been kind of a train wreck since he left Washington, to be honest with you. I think, let me pull him up. Okay, so he shot 47% from the field when he was in Washington. Last season in Charlotte, he shot 38%. This season in New York, he shot 32% in 13 games. So, he's not doing it for me either. Like, Sessions has always been a sketchy shooter and a guy who you didn't really have to pay attention to on the perimeter. And he's lost his step, definitely, since his last time in Washington. Isn't as great at creating shots for others now as he was. And he's a solid player, I guess. And if you have to sign someone, I would much rather it be him than Derrick Rose or Ty Lawson. But
I don't know what's happened, man. I don't know what's happened since the Wizards days. He's played 13 games for the Knicks. Like, what has he been doing the rest of the season? I wonder, just DNPs? but he's shooting 18% from three-point land. That's just atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's not really helping. He's not really helping anything.
Somehow he's only 31 years old, though. I thought he was, like, ancient at this time.
Yeah, drafted in 07. He's been in the league for, what, 10 years now, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So you said out of the options that have been considered, Mr. Wild Hairdo with the he's kind of got the Elfrid Payton looking a little bit. It's not hanging quite over his head quite as much, but Briante Weber, just 1B in Weber. He's your favorite pick, or Sessions is?
Yeah, I would say Weber at this point, just because he's a known defender. Mm-hmm. He doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but we've seen him shoot them before. And I just think, taking a chance on a dude like this who is 25 years old, still a pretty raw talent, and, can play kind of a Patrick Beverley role, I guess,
right,
for the Wizards. Like, I would like to see that on their team. That's something that they haven't had over the years. So,
cool. Well, thanks for the analysis on the potential players that the Wizards might be picking up. We're going to talk in just a moment about one of the players they cut, who was a defensive-minded guard early in the season and let him slip away. That's Carrick Felix. So we'll be right back on the Locked On Wizards podcast. All right, welcome back to Locked On Wizards. I'm your host, Noah Getzel, and I forgot to ask you, Mike, how do we find you on Twitter? This is Michael Sykes from Bullets Forever, who we have as a guest today.
You can find me on Twitter at Mike D. Sykes, and Sykes is spelled S-Y-K-E-S.
Mm-hmm. And then the Bullets Forever handle?
Yeah, Bullets Forever, at Bullets Forever. Okay. I don't think I need to spell that out.
Nah, we got that one. Cool. So we just talked about some of the point guards who are still out there on waivers for the Wizards because they are really undermanned right now. They lost two players. Luckily, one of the injuries isn't serious, but against the Bulls, Bobby Portis was a man on a mission, a one-man wrecking ball, and he first broke the nose of Tim Frazier, who just had surgery yesterday, I believe. Yeah, the game was Saturday, so his surgery was yesterday. No word yet, right, on how long Tim Frazier is going to be out?
Not yet.
Okay. And then late in the game, after Tomas Satoransky's career night, 25 points, he had he was thrown out of the game for a flagrant two, but kind of like Satoransky jumped up for a dunk. He went up for the ball, but kind of like pulled him down, and he was defenseless falling. So Satoransky banged the side of his head. He was bleeding from like a cut around his eye area, and he was ruled out for the rest of the game, probably a little bit woozy after a hit like that. You just mentioned that Satoransky practiced today, so he seems to be all set in terms of coming back and playing on Wednesday against the Knicks. But just, you know, with John Wall's injury, with the thin roster already in terms of, you know, one backup shooting guard who doesn't really play too much, only one backup small forward with Devin Robinson playing in the G League, what's going on with the Wizards' depth, and do you think that it was intentional that they only had, that they kind of, you know, didn't foresee this situation, one or two guys get injured, they basically are really treading on thin ice?
I guess we can say that they're treading on thin ice, right? But, like, you don't ever expect, especially after last season, they were extremely healthy last season, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, you would hope that continues into this year. And two, like, I don't think you ever foresee, two point guards going down in the same game. Like, that's kind of nuts. So I can't really, can't necessarily put that on them. I do think that, they have kind of put themselves in a peculiar situation with this roster overall, because it's a lot of redundant talent, especially at the center position. Mm-hmm. It's taking up three roster spots, and Jason Smith doesn't even really play that much, but I would say that they've definitely pigeonholed themselves a bit. Hopefully they can work themselves out of it, though.
Is there any player who the Wizards got rid of who maybe you would have liked to see get some more run? So, like, some of the guys who are on the roster opening night, like Chris McCullough doesn't play at all, pretty much. He's been on the roster for the past 2 years, ever since that trade with Andrew Nicholson. And then Devin Robinson obviously hasn't played at all. Who else was cut? Mike Young got cut. Carrick Felix was a 6'6" shooting guard from Arizona State who rehabbed through a bunch of injuries, but he never really got a chance. He was cut like right in the first week of the season. Are there any of those players, guys, who you want to see play more?
I would absolutely love to see Chris McCullough play a little bit more. I'm not sure if he's very good or not. Like, I have no clue. But honestly, they picked up his option last season, and he's still with the team. So I would like to see him play more. Like, it makes me think that, you know, they picked up that option for a reason. And so they see that there's some talent there somewhere, and they're still trying to tap into it. So I'd like to see you know, what he can do, if he could do anything at all. I would have loved to see Carrick Felix stick around. I understand why he got cut, which is, you know, really, again, kind of a reverberation of what happened with their roster and all these guaranteed contracts that they have that I got the guys who aren't very good. But, you know, they couldn't afford to keep Felix and Sheldon Mack, and Sheldon Mack got hurt, and once he got hurt, his contract was going to be guaranteed if they cut him. So they wanted to hold him to trade him, and they did that, but Carrick Felix was a casualty of that. And so, I mean, they, like you said, they lost a defensive-minded guard who probably would have been a really, really good guard to have right now, especially with how thin they are in their backcourt right now. So I would love to have seen him stick around.
That makes sense, especially with the defense that the Wizards have played a lot of the games this year. It would be nice to have that sort of tenacity and give him a shot. And then what's the deal with Markieff Morris? I know he missed practice today. He still got the flu or some sort of illness. Do you know how close he is to being right? And he had a bad swollen hand after the Celtics game as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think the hand is necessarily the problem with him. I haven't heard anything about the hand, but it sounds like this flu is really bad. And there's just a really bad bug going around the country right now, which is super scary. But yeah, hopefully he gets back soon. But he's still out with the flu though for now.
That makes sense. So Chris McCullough and the already cut Carrick Felix are two guys who you would have wanted to see get some more run with the Wizards. Finally, our last segment is going to be talking about which player John Wall would like to see added, or kind of just what kind of tweaks could be done this next month or so while he's still on the pine recovering from his knee injury that could just make him a little bit happier. You know, there's been a lot of trash talk about the Wizards being better without him, so we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what could make, you know, the cornerstone of the roster and the franchise feel a little better before he gets back healthy with the Wizards. Stay tuned, stay locked in with the Locked On Wizards podcast. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Once again, I'm Noah Getzel, and I'm joined by Mike Sykes from Bullets Forever today. I've been noticing that a lot of these Locked On Wizards podcasts have been running kind of long, so we're going to try and finish this one up a little bit quicker, get in and out like the fast food chain. So let's go animal style on this last segment about what would make John Wall happy. John Wall is obviously injured through at least mid-March. He had a small knee procedure and has been on crutches. He's probably going to stay on crutches for close to another week. There's been a lot of internal turmoil with the team in terms of people saying everybody eats and the ball moves better when John Wall is not on the court, which is surprising for someone who is one of the NBA's perennial assist leaders or up there in the top three. How do you think John Wall feels, you know, day to day in terms of his recovery, his relationship with his teammates, and what could help lighten the mood for the Wall star?
I mean, obviously there's some frustration there, right, with the press run that he had last week where he's addressing Gortat's great team victory tweet and addressing Bradley Beal, quoting Paid in Full. Shout out to Paid in Full. It's actually a great movie.
I have not seen it. I got to check that out.
Definitely check it out. But yeah, I mean, obviously there was some frustration there. I'm not sure if it's, you know, if it was necessary, if it was warranted, but like he obviously feels the type of way. So that's the thing. And this team has had chemistry problems for a while now. I think between Wall and Beal, not so much, but between Wall and Gortat, it's something that has been brewing for quite some time. I think, just following the team, and you've been in the locker room also, Noah, so I'm sure you've seen this, but normally whenever there are defensive lapses, Wall will talk about the rim protection needing to be better and not necessarily putting things on himself in the perimeter. And Gortat would normally be irritated by that, right? And so I think that's been something that's been happening for years, and it's been something that that has kind of put a strain on their relationship, I guess. I don't know if it's necessarily bad enough for them to not want to work together anymore, because they work really well together. But yeah, so I think as far as him being happy goes, it at this point there aren't many acquisitions they can make. I think anytime you get extra shooters around Wall, that's a good thing, and that's something that he's happy with. But he honestly needs to get back healthy before anything like that is considered, especially with how thin they are at the point guard position right now. I think that's getting a good backup in there right now would be the best thing for the team. And I guess the best thing for the team is the thing that should make John Wall happy, I guess. I'm not sure.
Well, do you think he's upset at all that the Wizards didn't pursue a rim protector? And I can't actually think of anyone who was on the trading block except for DeAndre Jordan, who ended up staying pat. Do you think, he never said anything publicly, but do you think, given the years he spent with Gortat, and I don't know if he likes Mahimney any better. Mahimney gets a few blocks, but Mahimney's kind of been shaky too. Do you think he's upset that the Wizards didn't make a move for some more star power, even though they don't really have the contract luxuries of getting someone like that?
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily upset because they tried. Like, I obviously haven't spoken to John Wall about this, so I don't have any particular insights there. But like, I don't think he can be upset because the team definitely tried to get DeAndre Jordan. That's definitely a thing that that happened. DeMarcus Cousins wasn't going to be on the trading block, but if he was, he also tore his Achilles. So, getting him was pretty much pointless for this season. So I think, and plus the Wizards were always going to be in a really difficult situation in terms of trades, because they don't really have any assets that teams want that aren't important to their rotation now. Right. Like their most coveted pieces would be Kelly Oubre and Thomas Satoransky, and neither of those guys can be traded at this point because they're so crucial to this rotation. So again, we circle back to the acquisitions that they made in the summer of 2016 when they missed out on Kevin Durant. Like this Mahimi signing, the Jason Smith signing, even going back to this past summer with Jody Meeks and guys like that, Tim Frazier. Like, those acquisitions aren't really producing, and it's not helping the team. Like, you see that they're building well from the inside, but the talent that they're pulling from outside, it's not necessarily working. So if he's frustrated with anything, it should be that.
Yeah, that's very true. But do you think there's any chance, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how concerned, like, how happy, how good is the relationship between John Wall and the Wizards? And is there any reason to think, like, maybe he comes back a week or so before the playoffs start and the Wizards just have, like, one of these awful first-round matchups against the Bucks or somebody who's been beating them all year, and the Wizards end up not making it out of that first round of the playoffs? Do you think that Wall would demand a trade, or would he just realize, like, hey, I've been injured a lot of this year, like, I've realized that, like, I wasn't healthy, we'll give it a go next year?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think demanding a trade is in the books necessarily. He's not eligible to be traded until July, so that makes it really tough for the Wizards. Even if he did demand a trade, to find a trade partner for him, because at that point the draft will be over and free agency will be a thing. And it'll be interesting. Once those chips fall and everyone is signed wherever they're going to go, To see if anybody missed out on a superstar and they want to make calls on Wall, but I'm not sure the Wizards at this point are inclined to make a move with him at this point anyway. But, you know, I think, you know, with the scenario you just laid out with Wall coming back a couple weeks, maybe a week before the playoffs, and the Wizards kind of getting bounced out in the first round by, like, the Bucks or something, like, that's definitely a thing that could for sure happen. And I think if that does happen, then I'm not sure we'll see a trade or a trade request from John Wall, but I do think we'll see a pretty big shakeup of the roster and maybe even the front office at this point. But you know, it remains to be seen. Like that's way too far down the line for me to speculate about it, I guess, at this point.
And just to recap, like, in terms of Wall's morale, you think just winning games would be what would make him happiest right now for the next month or so until he gets back?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like, I think, you know, winning kind of makes everything go away if the team is good.
But, I don't know, once they start winning, everyone's saying, okay, we don't need John Wall anymore.
Well, that's actually a really good point. And Wall was clearly upset from that. But I also think that, and that's kind of on Wall, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's something that he kind of needs to figure out. And the team just needs to talk about that, I guess. Because, like, at that point, you know, you're the best player on the team. You're the team leader. It's actually a good thing that they're winning without you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it shows that the team actually has some solid rotation pieces that can do well, do good things without you. And it's so different from the past where, you know, John Wall's out, it's a schedule loss, right?
Right.
Like, we've even seen that at some point this year. So, like, that should be growth that is encouraged, I think, and not necessarily discouraged. And I also think, you know, just the narrative that they're better without Wall, that particularly was interesting because it came on the heels of that whole J.J. Barea thing where, you know, the people are like, your teammates don't like you, and then John Wall is talking about, you know, the team meeting that didn't go so well. So, like, that's kind of a, it sounds to me like that's a John Wall thing and something that John Wall has to deal with along with the team, his teammates. But, you know, I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing. Like, if the Wizards are winning without John Wall, that's a really good thing. Because when he comes back, they should be even better.
So I don't want to harp on this too much because it's kind of old news. But, like, whatever Gortat tweets, no big deal. He's kind of taking fights with everybody, and he's never really going to be happy anymore. But between him and Brad Beal, I feel like the media is driving a lot of, like, the kind of ill will and controversies and hard feelings between them. Did you think anything of the "everybody eats" quote from Payton Full? Do you think it's kind of taking a shot at him, or is it just saying we're playing well, we're moving the ball, we're getting 30 assists a game, everybody eats? Is it a criticism? Do you think Wall overreacted?
Yeah, I actually do think that Wall overreacted there. Like, I didn't read anything into Bradley Beal's quote particularly, because I mean, like, I honestly thought that was a pretty cool thing. I recognizing that it was from Payton Full, and that was that was something that I mean, it's just a cool phrase to have, right? And that's something that the Wizards needed to do with their best player out. Like, they had it felt to me like they realized that they had to do something different, and they kind of got a reality check there. And realized they needed to play a different way. Now, Gortat's tweet was that was a bit interesting to me, because putting team in quotations after Wall is out, after the team just announced that he was going to have this surgery. Like, I imagine that Wall is probably in a really emotional place because he takes a lot of pride in actually playing playing games and being healthy. So, like, I think you know, Wall took it some type of way, obviously, but I also think it's probably partly because he literally is just getting out of surgery and sees this tweet. Somebody probably brought it up to him, and he was just like, "Oh no, well this is I'm going to him." Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. And that like, I'm not in the room, so that's not coming from any particular source or any particular player. But
I don't think he thinks too much of it, though. Gortat's, you know, he gets a lot of screen assists. He's still a starter for his own ego, but he's not that important a member of the Wizards anymore. So I don't think that Wall really cares. I mean, hopefully he'll still move the ball and use his pick and rolls and get him easy buckets and all that. So I'm sure it won't like pan out on the court. I don't know what will happen behind the scenes, but I just don't think that any beef between them is that important, because Gortat's role is very diminished on the team. He doesn't play a lot of fourth quarters anymore. But
yeah, they work together fine.
Yeah. So thanks so much for all your time. One more question before you go. Do you think the Wizards are going to beat the Knicks to end this two-game losing streak on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right. That's cool. Well, it's been a pleasure. I wish this could have gone a little bit faster, but it just shows, you know, how good of a conversation we had and how much you enjoy being on this podcast and expressing yourself, Michael. I appreciate this.
Most definitely. Thanks for having me, though. I appreciate it.
Cool. No problem. Tomorrow night, it'll be Arthur Renault and Dustin Allwood hosting the Locked On Wizards podcast. It's Monday night now, and that's coming out Tuesday night. So thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Take it easy. You know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop till I see my name on a blimp. Guarantee a million cells full of love or luck. You don't believe in Harlem World, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem with the Goldie sound. Can't no P&D, hold me down. Cuda, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Hootie. True pimp, spin no dough on the booty. Yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie.